Passover is around the corner, a week away. Good time to look in the Bible at that story. People think, oh, biblical accounts, maybe they happened, maybe they didn't happen, they don't have relevance for us. We need a new Passover Seder, something different. The old one doesn't teach us the lessons anymore. Come with me. Come with me. Look in the Bible, and it tells us that a new Pharaoh arose over Egypt who didn't know Joseph, and therefore everything changed. He wasn't thinking about how Joseph saved the country, and he went off in a new direction. It's actually not so simple, according to the Medrash. What actually happened was that Pharaoh initially was confronted by a group of woke activists around him who insisted, you know what? At some point, there's going to be a war between the Canaanites and us. The Canaanites are going to come back. You know, they ended up following Joseph's advice during the years of famine. The Egyptians ended up collecting huge wealth from the Canaanites. Well, the Canaanites are going to invade to take their money back. For all that food that we gave them in exchange for money, now they're going to come back and they're going to take the money back by force. And you know what's going to happen is the Jews are going to join them. And the verse in the Bible that says the Jews will join with them and they will ascend from the land can actually be read, says the Medrash, as saying basically they're going to force the Egyptians out. And initially, Pharaoh didn't want to listen to them. Pharaoh said, what are you talking about? You're crazy. This is the family of Joseph. If not for Joseph, you would all have starved. So who are you now to say that I should persecute the Jews? They staged a coup. They forced him out of office. The Medrash cites a debate about whether the Pharaoh that ascended to the throne really was a new Pharaoh, or actually was the same old Pharaoh, but he was modified in his thinking by that mob. And he came to realize, oh, they're right. Those Jews are a danger. Those Jews are a risk. And therefore, we have to persecute them. We have to do things to prevent them from growing and flourishing, because otherwise they're going to take the side of our enemies and they're going to eliminate us. This is all defensive action. It's all their fault, even though the Jews had never done a thing that was bad. If you think that that's the last time we heard such a story about Jews, you know, I just told you what the Germans thought about Jews prior to the Holocaust. Think about it. The dual loyalty trope goes all the way back to the Bible and the story of Pharaoh. But not just that detail. Look at the ideas that are being promoted by the mob today. That law enforcement is bad and evil. That mathematics, the great equalizer, for after all, great mathematicians have arisen from diverse cultures all over the globe. It's racist. And then there's the idea that biological science doesn't determine gender. None of these ideas are any more rational than the idea that the Jews would side with the Canaanites after their leaders' expertise and generosity were employed to save everyone from famine. Certainly, the mythological notion that Jews are anxious to steal land that rightfully belongs to others is robustly here with us today. Today it is accompanied by the notion that tribes from Arabia, who have adopted a name created by Greco-Roman colonialists to disenfranchise the natives, and which cannot even be pronounced correctly in Arabic, are the so-called indigenous residents of Zion. None of this is more rational. None of this is new. The Bible also tells us that when Pharaoh began the process of enslaving the Jews, there was a slide to tyranny. It didn't happen overnight. The people would never have stood for it. The people wouldn't have fallen for it. What happened first was that there was a big announcement that Pharaoh was having two new cities built, Pisom and Ramses, and everybody was invited to come help build. Pharaoh himself showed up with a shovel. You know, the groundbreaking. He starts the process. Egyptians and Jews worked side by side. And then gradually the Egyptians stopped coming. And oh, by the way, initially they announced that they would be paid and paid generously. And then once all the Egyptians were gone, they stopped paying. And they insisted that the Jews continue to work. And when the Jews complained, they said, "We're not going to give you straw anymore, but you're expected to meet the same quota tomorrow anyway." It was an impossible task. And the targeted Jews were deprived of a livelihood. Last year, we had an outstanding medical crisis, a pandemic that affected everyone. And everyone had to distance. And for a while, all businesses had to close. Then things began to change. A great rabbi passed away in New York, and extensive meetings were held with the NYPD to coordinate the funeral. Then someone at the NYPD upended the plans at the last minute. People came anyway and crowded in specifically because the initial plans were not followed. And Bill de Blasio did not blame the police. He targeted the Jews openly, publicly, on Twitter. He had no problem with Black Lives Matter protests or Biden victory parties, only with Jews at a funeral. Red closure lines were drawn by both de Blasio and Governor Cuomo around Jewish neighborhoods, Jewish zip codes, Jewish towns, but ignored when other areas of the state showed much higher rates of infection. We were told that the Jewish regions were the hardest hit, right up until vaccines became available, and needed to be sent first to the hardest hit neighborhoods, at which point those neighborhoods changed entirely overnight. And it's not just about the Jews. Now they want laws that will force those unwilling to commit the murder of a fetus out of obstetrics. You're not allowed to be an obstetrician, and you're not allowed to be a nurse working in obstetrics unless you're willing to participate in a voluntary abortion, the murder of a fetus. If you're unwilling to perform a hysterectomy or a castration for someone who simply wants it, well, then you have to be forced out of gynecology. And those who celebrate the biblical definition of marriage need to be forced out of the wedding business entirely. Now, these people don't actually need violence, but it's a useful tool. The mob helps get the right people elected. Look at the riots around the country. It's amazing to watch the same leftists who said, well, who says that demonstrations have to be peaceful? Or who openly supported the riots, all of a sudden when there was a riot by right-wingers against the Capitol, they immediately blamed it on Trump and his speech, even though it was planned, as we now know, weeks in advance, had nothing to do with the speech. And all of a sudden, they're totally against violence. They were pro-violence the whole summer. When the whole center of Portland was taken over by this autonomous zone in Seattle, those zones existed until murders and sexual assaults transpired within their limits. Then all of a sudden, people grew up and began to realize that this might have been a mistake. Minneapolis has now restored funding to police after defunding it precipitated an immediate crime wave. Who would have imagined that? Where did that come from? What a strange idea. Defunding the police, not having police, means we're going to have a crime wave? Wow, I didn't know that. You know what they do know? That an avid supporter of those rioters and looters should be vice president of the United States. We have a Speaker of the House who pretends to fight anti-Semitism while elevating those who harbor obvious and genuine hatred of Jews to positions of leadership. Then as now, there were people who fell for it and people who did not. Back in Egypt, there were Jews who stayed with the Egyptians, who felt that they had fallen sway to the Egyptian dream and wanted to conform to the Egyptian ways, and maybe someday the Egyptians will decide on their own to be nice to Jews again after all. The Bible tells us that when the Jews left Egypt in the journey towards the sea, which they eventually crossed by the miraculous story of the parting of the sea, when they went out, they were armed. But the word used in the original biblical Hebrew is chamushim, which is a word that means armed, but is an unusual word for that, and is also, it comes from the root chamesh, five. The Medrash tells us, and one of the foremost biblical commentators, Rashi, tells us that the Medrash says that another interpretation of why it uses that particular word is that indeed they were chamushim, there were five parts. Only one Jew out of five actually got to leave Egypt. Four-fifths of them were lost. You may not be in the majority, but you don't want to be part of that four-fifths, let me tell you. If it's true right now that the majority of the country has gone insane, the final lesson that I want you to bring out from the story of the redemption from Egypt is that eventually the truth always wins. Eventually righteousness always wins. The Bible always wins. God always wins. You don't want to be part of the four-fifths. And don't believe that by beginning to succumb to some of their ideas, by appearing a little bit woke, like the ineffective Speaker of the House, that somehow that means they won't come for you in the end. We've seen one story after another over the last few weeks over people who weren't far enough to the left, all of a sudden no longer being the darlings that they imagined themselves to be in the eyes of the left. All of this is familiar territory to us. And there's no reason to stop promoting that truth, because all of the best ideas which founded first world civilizations, the idea that there's a brotherhood of man, that we're all in this together, that peace is more valuable than warfare, that there should be universal justice and universal education, and that family means something, and that we should be charitable with our neighbors. All of these ideas are over 3,000 years old. None of them come from so-called progressivism, which is actually not progress. That's what we're seeing around us. It is the slide into tyranny at the hands of a woke mob, just as transpired 3,300 years ago. What a lesson for the upcoming holiday of Passover. Inverted Planet is sponsored in memory of Carl Stitzer, and I remain very grateful to the Stitzer family for keeping this project afloat. If you enjoyed listening, please be sure you've subscribed. This podcast is available on all major platforms and all popular Android and iPhone podcast apps. And be sure to spread the word by giving us a 5-star rating and telling your friends about the Inverted Planet podcast. Thanks for listening.